No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with, well, not Ed or Keith at the moment, because they're not here. But I do have Captain Clay, my good friend from the dive industry, and is also a Piper Saratoga owner, and a friend who joined me at Sun and Fun. He's going to round out the crew because, you know, we can't fly. Well, if we fly solo, I would be totally illegal because I do not have my flying certificate. So thank you, Clay, for helping us out today on Just Plain Radio. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, and I can't believe those guys are off somewhere goofing off.
You know, after Sun and Fun, and last week Keith and I did the show and kind of reflected on some of our experiences, they needed a break from me, I guess. You know,
I was going to say, from what?
That's an obvious answer. You would think the fact that I was there at Sun and Fun camping for 3 nights in Lakeland, Florida, that would be enough of a break, but evidently not. But I don't know. Ed has threatened to show up before the end of the show today, so we'll see how things progress on today's flight plan and deal with it accordingly. But let's talk about what you saw, because there were a lot of first-time things that you had seen at Sun and Fun that you'd never experienced before. Am I right?
The whole thing was a first. I'd never been to Sun and Fun, never been to Oshkosh, never been I've been to you know, daytime little air shows, that type
right.
of thing, and Thunderbirds and, you know, that type of thing. But the night air show was super cool.
Yeah.
I'd never seen one of those before.
Well, you know, I had sold it. I'd hyped it up to you quite a bit. And you were there on Wednesday evening. They did it Wednesday evening and Saturday. And I told you, I said, Clay, I know you've seen these air shows during the day at different places around the country, but you've never seen a nighttime air show. Oh my gosh, are you in for a treat? And I didn't
exactly.
I didn't oversell it, did I?
No, it was incredibly cool. And they're shooting fireworks out of their wings, and I can't imagine. I want to be the guy from the FAA that signed off the plane that did that.
Really? Or do you want to be the guy who's actually doing it? I figured went back to Wisconsin and outrigged your Saratoga with some flares or something off the wings.
Wisconsin? I'm going to get you for that later.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, what did I say?
Okay.
I said
you Wisconsin. Said Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay. Wyoming, Wisconsin. It starts with a W. Come on. Really?
Exactly.
But you could probably get away with it in Wyoming. You couldn't get away with that in Wisconsin.
Yeah, probably not.
You could probably shoot cheese off the side of your window or wings,
really?
Maybe. But,
cheese in Wisconsin, cows here.
Yeah.
Actually, probably cows in Wisconsin. Yeah, you never know.
No, I don't know.
But
works.
No, that was cool. We had, we had a good time, you know, just sitting along the flight line watching that. And basically, in all the vendors, I'd never been. I've been to plenty of diving industry, trade shows and events, but I'd never been to an aviation trade show or event. So,
yeah. Did you see a lot of crossover there? I mean, I see it. I saw a lot of dive flags walking around, you know, the show grounds. Did you notice that or no?
I noticed a little bit about it. I noticed there was one guy that was, selling sort of boats that could fit in airplanes and, had some ideas on that. And, obviously the seaplane areas for Florida, that's a great crossover there. Can you imagine, that caravan on floats that you really want to get?
I definitely do. Every time I go to the shows, I zero in on those. And you were with me and we were looking at the caravan on floats. So we were thinking, okay, should we go with a Kodiak or even go bigger and go for like the Osprey or not the Osprey, but the what is it called again? They had it at the NBAA show. They didn't have it at Sun and Fun, I don't believe, or maybe they did.
I didn't see it.
The Twin Otter. Well, did you see?
Yeah, yeah.
They had those at Sun and Fun, didn't they? Or did you notice that? I don't know.
No, I didn't see a Twin Otter at Sun and Fun, but a Twin Otter on floats. Now that would be pretty cool.
That would be like a flying liveaboard boat, like what you do in the dive industry. You think?
Exactly. And then, in fact, on our boat in the Maldives, you can see those Twin Otters on floats flying around all over the place.
Well, there you go. Well, how about outfitting one of these Twin Otters and making it into the first flying dive liveaboard boat? Could we, am I giving you some ideas? I'll bet bad ones, but still.
You know, I to be honest with you, although it's not really related to the aviation industry, it's more related perhaps to the dive industry, but I have seen two or three business proposals over the years for something like that.
Really? That they
have, and none of them have got off the ground, no pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we have this problem with flying after diving because we have decompression issues and you have to give it some time before you're diving deep and then hopping an airplane. But if you did something like an Osprey like that and equipped it properly and used it as like a day flyer, or even, well, they're big enough where you could set up some sleeping quarters in one of these things and maybe take care of a couple people or something, and just kept it, you know, low flying over the water where, you know, the altitude wasn't such an issue, maybe that would work. What do you think?
I don't know. You could probably, on the island of Saba, for instance, you know, most of the residences or hotels and everything are 1,000 feet above sea level. So, you know, you could get up to 1,000 AGL and
not have, you know, really an issue.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we've, like you said, I have seen this before, too, where someone tried to do this in the dive industry. But, yeah, it never really took off, literally. I didn't hear about it taking off, at least. But it sounds pretty cool to be able to just fly off into your own water plane or seaplane and just dive wherever you want, or actually scope out the what's swimming around in the ocean, like, ooh, there's a pod of dolphins. Land right in about a half a mile in front of them, get in my gear, jump in there, and then they'll swim right between me or that kind of thing. And then you find out, oh, wait a minute, those look like dolphins from the sky, but now I see it's a school of great whites. No! You know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's why it didn't work as well. I don't know. But it sounds like it'd be fun. But, you know, when you go to a show like this, it just gets your imagination running, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, there's a lot of cool gizmos there. Whether it's avionics or headsets for dogs, or, you know, all sorts of,
Whoa, hold on. Headsets for dogs? I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had headsets for dogs.
Okay, I'm guessing.
You didn't see that?
These didn't have microphones on them, though.
No, they didn't have microphones.
Okay, so they were just like the hearing protection for dogs? Is that what it was?
Maybe, yeah, okay. I did see that. Okay, basically.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, if it had like a mic on it, that would be pretty awesome.
bark once if you need to take a leak.
I love it. Yeah, anybody. You know, that would actually probably sell pretty well, just for a novelty gift. You never know. Yeah,
yeah, they probably did. Yeah, I was actually thinking of getting one because I fly with either my dog or my mom's dog a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you ever have problems with that or no?
The only problem you have is that they basically fall asleep and don't get up until you land.
Well, but, okay. That's not necessarily.
They're not much fun in flight.
If only your kids were like that, or, you know, it'd be really much more enjoyable experience, especially in a commercial airliner. But anyway, yeah, Sun and Fun, just a cool event. So did you find some other planes or more accessory type things that you want to get for your plane, or what, you know, what stood out in your mind?
You know, what stood out in my mind is that apparently I did a fair amount of research back when I bought the Saratoga and looked at all the options and set it up pretty well, because surprisingly, and I was amazed, I really didn't see any gizmos that I wanted.
You didn't really have to get any extra stuff.
No, there's all sorts of options and there's plenty of cool stuff, but I figured, because of course when I set up the Saratoga, I tried to do it, I wouldn't say on the cheap, but, tried to do it cost effectively. So it did all that I needed to do in the most cost effective manner. And apparently I was successful.
Well, there you
because
go.
Because all the other options I looked at that might have been better were far more money.
Far more money. So, well, yeah, what about the hands-free Segway thing? You know, we had that guy on the show when we did the show from the Sunset Grill, but I don't believe you were there that day. He came over.
No, I wasn't there that day, but I really want to get one of those because I wear a Fitbit and I think I logged about 25,000 steps each day that I was there.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm surprised that guy didn't sell enough to retire at Sun and Fun, seriously. Because he had some like special for like $800. You could have this little mini Segway thing, and it would go over grass and concrete, the whole thing, the campgrounds. I'm like, wow, I think I need one of these. But they were small enough. They were like 25 pounds, so they were light enough where you could fit them and carry them in your airplane fairly easily. They, you know, as a matter of fact, he was an aviator, and that's why he brought them to Sun and Fun. He thought, hey, this is a small, lightweight version of the Segway, or a new version of that type of, you know, technology that aviators could definitely appreciate, let alone the folks at Sun and Fun whose feet were killing them, like me. Because, I think that should be like, I don't know, standard, first 100 people get a free one or something, you know, at these shows. I mean, they'd be lined up for miles. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, these things are huge as far as square footage, and you definitely got to manage your feet properly, and that would definitely be one solution, let alone just having something to move you around when you're cruising around from island to island like Captain Clay here is on his Piper Saratoga.
How many aviation monitor units did it cost?
Like $800.
Really?
Like chump change, yeah. One like a,
oh, man, ship me one.
You got to get two, because you got to get one for me, too.
Oh.
That's how it
get
works.
Get yourself one, and then send me one, too.
Wait a minute. Take that, reverse it. Right, we'll figure this out during the break. We'll be back right here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Clay this week, rounding out the crew. He's reflecting on his experiences at Sun and Fun, first time visit for him. This was my actually fourth time to Sun and Fun in Lakeland, and it never gets old. I tell you, even being there for several days and camping, you just get more immersed in the aviation industry by hanging out with all these folks and just having a good time. But it's great hearing someone like Clay, who's, you know, he's seen other air shows around the country, but he's never been to a big event like Sun and Fun, the spring break for aviators. Is that how it felt to you there, Clay?
It really did. You know, I just had a great time wandering around and, you know, mostly seeing the airplanes. That was the neatest thing about it.
Actually, there were a couple afternoons where you would see a lot of wet T-shirts, but they were like 50-something year old guys that were slightly overweight. You hear what I'm saying?
And it was raining like hell. Yeah, other than that.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a little bit of that wet T-shirt spring break thing going on, but, you know, it wasn't all bad. But the planes, obviously, are the stars there at the show. Whether it's the warbirds that, you know, they just have an amazing collection of warbirds there on display, which is, you know, I have no clue to any of these planes, but it's fun to watch or walk around and just look at them and just go, wow, this thing is not only is an impressive piece of machinery from, you know, back in the 50s, 60s or whatever. Look, it's still flying. And they still maintain this thing, and it's spotless. I mean, it's just interesting to kind of see all that kind of stuff and get up close and personal and hear the stories. They usually have some real nice displays. What stood out in your mind along the line of planes? Was it that kind of stuff or other planes, new planes?
I guess three things, basically, which are, I think, one of each category. I mean, the warbirds were outstanding. It's fascinating to see, you know, all these old bombers and fighters. I mean, the P-51 being my all-time favorite airplane, which is just, I mean, it's just the sexiest thing in the world to me. But you know, seeing the love and care that people put into these warbirds to keep them flying, not to mention the money. You know, that's just, that's just amazing to me that there are people out there that invest everything they have, both time and in terms of finances, to keep these things up in the air. It's just great. And they're just, flying history.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, something like that on a P-51, I'm guessing there's a bunch out there. Can a private collector just buy one
You can buy them if you can. You know, I mean,
it's all about the money.
And they're hugely expensive to buy, because the ones that were available are basically, from what I understand anyway. I'm no expert, but they're in flying condition, and obviously they've had a lot of the work done to them. But keeping them up in the air is the next hurdle.
Yeah, I'm guessing the annual on a P-51 would not be within the budget of most. I'm guessing.
Well, I would think that, given the fact that I think you can get in a two-seat P-51, you know, with a commemorative Air Force or something like that, I think they charge something like $2,500 or $3,000 for a half an hour. I think it's a little bit above my tax bracket. But one of these days.
All you got to do is win the lottery.
I'll just load up my pockets with sick bags and hand them a check and say, take me.
Okay. <I'm yours. laughs> That's an interesting technique. I might have to give that a go. But was it other planes, like, you know, when we were walking around together with your friend Keith there, we were looking at planes that I want to get. I keep zeroing in on that Kodiak with floats or the Grand Caravan, because I want to take people. And yeah, you keep saying, Greg, you know, I know you want to do this, but you need to learn on a Cherokee first, Cherokee 6 or something like that, or the Cessna 182, 72, and kind of get your flying thing done. And then you can look at doing something like that. But I'm so anxious to just go for the big boy right out of the box. But that's the wrong way to think about it, huh?
You need to build hours. If you don't want to, you know, if anybody would, you know, stepping into something like a Kodiak or a Grand Caravan, if anybody were to insure that for you as a low-time certificated, presumably at that point, pilot,
they would be a relative.
I bet the premium would be equal to the hull value of the airplane. Those were fun. I mean, looking at all those, you know, Keith, my friend Keith, is he's an A&P and has actually a lot of experience in working on things like DC-3s and older airplanes, but he really wants like a Super Decathlon.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
An aerobatic airplane is a second plane. He's got a Cessna 206 now. I was really, you know, I mean, it was fun looking at the, you know, the some of the light jets, you know, the single pilot jets, which would be actually pretty useful from my point of view. Not really attainable, but, you know, very, very useful.
Well, you get one of these new Cirrus or something. You're talking about something that you would get that'd be much faster than what you're flying now. Is that what
you're saying? Talking about 350, 400 knots and you know, get me down to the Caribbean in 26 minutes or something like that.
Well, Cirrus is moving their operations to Tennessee. So,
are they really?
Yeah. So they're going to have a little school and whole thing there. I just saw that on AOPA Live this week. So, I mean, it's not necessarily any closer to Wyoming, but you could get over there, pick one up, and you know, I'll co-pilot with you. I'll drive you crazy for an hour or two in the sky.
But, you know, those are fun. But I think, I think one of the things that I really sort of focused on that was the most fun to me is over in the LSA area. You know, some of the light sport aircraft, some of the, the powered gliders and, the powered wings, you know, the gyrocopters. I mean, there's all sorts of neat stuff there.
Okay, so you're looking for more just fun planes, not necessarily a jet.
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, I want a Warbird, and then I want a jet.
Okay,
and
in that order.
The Saratoga, because that works.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think I need a bigger hangar and a bigger budget.
Okay. A bigger hangar would help. And then, win the lottery, and then you start breaking it out. Like, okay, I need a little sports airplane type of thing. And in your mind, that could be like an ultralight or something, like a powered glider. You'd like to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that would be fun. I mean, even that's probably living in Wyoming, probably not all that, useful to have a powered wing or something along those lines.
Well, what about one of them
here generally higher?
Flying cars. They had some of those on display.
You know, I don't really have an interest in flying cars. I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty cool.
They are kind of cool. I mean, it'd be more for a practicality standpoint. You don't have any, you know, traffic out there in Wyoming, so you don't necessarily have the need for a flying car per se.
No, maybe. Not unless it had a cow catcher on the front or something.
Well,
like that.
I'm sure you could equip it, you know, somehow. But I don't know. Maybe they're not the flying car, but the ultralight or something, just a fun little sporty or, you know, like one of those glider things. Those do have kind of a cool vibe to them. To just fly around in the air column would be kind of a fun thing to have and just kind of play around on an afternoon. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, basically.
All right. I like it. All right. Well, I'm glad I inspired you to spend more money.
You are kind.
At Sun and Fun. And I mean, I think they're kind of shooting for that goal with many people when you go out to these air shows. But that's part of the fun. You got to dream.
You just feel your wallet levitating out of your pants as you walk around. It's amazing.
It's like magic. All right. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. I've let Captain Clay take off to dream of sugar plum fairies and new planes or something like that. I don't know. Sun and Fun inspires so many things like that, and it's all good. That's one of the beautiful things of being a pilot, to go out to events like that and wonder what you might want to purchase in the future. Now, Dennis is on the line with me right now. He was there as well with his son, and the same kind of deal, Dennis. For you, this was the first time going to an event like Sun and Fun, was it not?
Well, it was my first to Sun and Fun, but I've been to Oshkosh probably three or four times already.
Okay, so Oshkosh is like, I don't know, three times bigger is my guesstimate. You think?
At least three times bigger.
Yeah, I mean, but Sun and Fun, still plenty big enough.
Oh, I think Sun and Fun was probably more fun than Oshkosh because you can actually take it all in. I mean, with Oshkosh, there's so much. It's so spread out. There's so many vendors to see. You don't get to spend any quality time because you're trying to just get around and see everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure that, you know, you can plan it out and work it out. And you have to manage it. It's like going to Disney World. You have to do one section per day and split it out over several days to make it efficient. And they do have some pretty cool stuff. I mean, there's no question they do have some pretty neat things there at AirVenture. This year, Gary Sinise and his band is going to be playing. I guess they're one of the big headliners for AirVenture this year. Did you know that?
I did. The Lieutenant Dan band is right. Seems, I think they're the opening act pretty much every season.
Are they the opening every season, really?
Well, I think every year that I, well, at least every year I've been there, it's always been Lieutenant Dan Band, which is really kind of nice because, you know, they're a staple.
Yeah. Well, maybe they were there last year and I just missed them because I showed up about, I don't know, 5 days into the event and I was just there a couple of the days and I wandered the entire grounds, but I didn't see them. So maybe I missed them at the beginning. Who knows? I saw a Beatles tribute band last year, and they were great. They were awesome. So they have good entertainment there. But look, we got AirVenture. We got other stuff to talk about with Sun and Fun, because Dennis and his son got to do some cool things, including getting into one of those Warbirds that we were talking about earlier with Clay. That's all coming up next on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Off with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Actually, we're going to take off soon, so we're going to need you to turn off your phone.
I'm actually not done talking, and two more.
If they had any G6s there at Sun and Fun in Lakeland. I don't know, Dennis, did you see any? Maybe they were.
I didn't pay attention. I didn't see any big iron business jets there. A lot of the VLJs, Eclipse had theirs a couple of them on display there, but I did not see any of the big iron.
Yeah, maybe that was they saved that for the NBAA show. But they might have been around there someplace. There were so many planes, they could have easily been overlooked. I mean, there were definitely some jets on display for sure, but who knows? I don't know if I'd know a G6 if I saw it. There's other planes that need to have songs about them like that, I think. Probably actually more listenable ones. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we could work Mustangs and Spitfires and something into the lyrics somehow.
Yes, we will work on that. All right, so at Sun and Fun, you brought your son there to wander the grounds, and you came back after your first night, Saturday night at Sun and Fun. You saw the nighttime air show, came back Sunday, and you told me that you and Austin watched the air show, and then after the air show, who let you in their cockpit? Who? What? Which team was it? Was it the Brightling
it was
team?
The Stallion 51 folks out of Kissimmee.
Yeah.
They have a couple of P-51 Mustangs. They're the TF-51. They're the two-seat versions, and they use those for transition training and for introductory flights. And so Lee had just done a routine for the air show to kick it off, so the Mustang had just been flying, and he pulled in, and my son managed to talk his way into the cockpit.
Okay,
achieving a lifelong goal.
Did he like, hey, could I get in the cockpit? And he's like waving 20s or what? How did that work exactly?
Not the 20s, but I mean, if he darn near tackled the guy, he got out of the airplane, steps down onto the ramp, and my son just got his hand up in the air waving at him. He's like, what do I need to do to get up into that cockpit? And he was being very polite. It's right now it's extremely busy. Everybody's kind of milling around. We don't really want to create a bunch of commotion here. So, maybe if you could come back later. But, he started talking to Lee and explained, Lee was asking questions about, do you fly? Are you taking training? And, the more they talked, he's like, come on up here. And so, I couldn't get the stupid grin off his face for about 3 hours.
Yes. Well, you got a great photo. And that's what can happen at an event like that. You just start talking to the pilots, and they're usually very cooperative. He wanted you to come back a little bit later because right then there was a big crowd. And if he did it for Austin, I'm guessing he was afraid everybody and their brother would want to jump up in the cockpit, right?
Exactly.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
But you worked it out. You worked your magic, and you got your photo op. That's pretty cool.
Well, I had nothing to do with it. It was all Austin. I mean, if he hadn't have reached out, it would not have happened. But that's the beautiful thing about Sun and Fun. I mean, everybody, it's a like-minded community. Everybody's an aviator, has an interest in it, and they just want to make you feel welcome and show off what they have and give people these opportunities. It's a great time.
Yes, indeed. And I don't know. Did you see some other planes there that you wanted to buy other than a P-51 like you and Clay? I mean, obviously, that's on Austin's list now, I'm guessing, but probably slightly out of your price range. Am I right?
A little out of my price range. We did go sit in one of the brand new Cirruses. It was nice for Austin to be able to look at that because, he's flying a Cessna 172, which is, a great trainer, great all-around personal airplane. And, we have a family connection. My father actually worked for Cirrus for 8 years assembling those airplanes, and so he got to sit in what grandpa makes, and compare the, here's a glass cockpit Cirrus, carbon interior, all nice seats and glass displays, and you know, comparing that to the Skyhawk with, you know, a standard six pack of steam gauges and a vernier throttle, it's quite a change.
It's a little different ball game. But Austin, being the sales technique he has going on with the pilots there at Sun and Fun, did he work at it serious and serious to say, "Hey, my grandpa makes these things. Don't I get one now?"
No, we've tried that. I tried that when my dad was working there. I was even reminding him that he needs to start bringing parts home in his lunchbox. But,
yeah.
Didn't happen.
Okay. But did you get in the cockpit of the Cirrus? They had on display. Several.
On display, yes. He did get to sit in that.
Now, that has the yoke is on the left side, right? It's on right.
Correct. It doesn't have a yoke. It's got the control arm, or the little stick coming out of the panel.
Yeah.
So you don't have that full yoke in the way to get in the view of the instruments. Yeah, the side stick is really a nice feature.
I think I got to get one of these. I got to talk to the Cirrus folks and see if they'll give us one. You know, they opened up this new facility, or they're opening up one in Tennessee in Knoxville.
I just saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's closer to Orlando, where we're based out of. It just makes sense that they ought to just give us one here at Just Plane Radio and have me learn in the Cirrus, and that could be my training plane, you think? Do I need to bring Austin in here to help me out with the sales you know, the sales angle on this?
You know, I'm sure he would welcome that opportunity.
He would accommodate me, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. The two of you teamed up, you could conquer the world, right?
Hey, we could do some serious selling, for sure. But I love those planes. And as a matter of fact, Abington used to work for Cirrus as well, and she was the one telling me how those planes operate. She said, yeah, that would be pretty sweet if you could get one, Greg. Those would be the ones you get. And I love the idea that they had that parachute. And the shirts, you know, they were selling at Sun and Fun, that shoot happens.
Shoot happens. Yeah. Live with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those are definitely a winner for sure. And from
I do miss having access to those airplanes. While my dad was working there, I was actually a part of their flying club, and so I've got about 30 some hours in an SR-20, and you know, I've flown both the steam gauge and the glass cockpit versions, and they are a very nice airplane.
Big difference from a 172 and 182, or
huge difference.
In what sense? How would you describe this?
Well, from a creature comfort and amenity standpoint, you know, it's you open up. It's got the gull wing doors, so you're not having to try to get your legs in and around a seat and underneath a strut like you do on a 172.
Right.
You just kind of drop in. It's very ergonomic. Something so simple just jumped out to me the first time I flew one. You know, you're supposed to keep your hands on the throttles during your takeoff roll. Well, what is that? Your fingertip. When you got your throttle all the way forward, is the flap lever.
Hmm. Okay.
It's just something so simple. It just makes sense, because what do you need to do? You need to retract your flaps after takeoff. It's right there. You never have to take your hand off. You don't have to reach around the dash and try to find where the flap lever is over on the right-hand side, or grab a Johnson bar off the floor. It's, you know, it's really, when they say it was designed by pilots for pilots, they weren't kidding.
Mm-hmm.
It's really ergonomic. It fits well. The side stick controller is another great example. You know, your hand just sits naturally there, and, you know, you don't have to have this big ham-fisted thing in the middle of your dash taking up half your view. The side stick's just out of the way and natural fit and feel.
Yeah. Now, my only thing with the Cirrus is that they don't make them, or do they have a model where you could bring several people with you in dive gear? I don't know if they got one that would be applicable along the lines of a Grand Caravan or a Kodiak. Nothing to that extent, I know.
No.
But that's what we need.
The jet. The jet's coming. The jet's going to seat 7. It's going to have a lot more room for baggage. So
maybe that would do it for us divers, because Dennis is a scuba diver as well. So I need some cargo space. I got to bring friends with me when I fly around. However, it would be a great plane to learn on, is my guess. Is that Cirrus calling you right now saying, oh, yeah, we got one for you?
No, ironically, it's my son sending me a picture of the current weather. He's supposed to fly here in about another hour.
He's supposed
to head up to the airport, and we've got, looks like Florida weather. We've got pop-up rainstorms all over around here. So
yeah, so, but like, you're ready to go.
Yeah, we're all set. He's like, I don't think I want to go, looking at all the rain sitting over here.
Oh, he's getting a little dodgy on that regard, huh?
Well, he knows he's going to be in the pattern doing crosswind work and stuff today.
And that's never any fun. But it's a clean plane. You were telling me you just had to clean your club plane. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I did find the downside to aircraft ownership. It doesn't just magically get cleaned by somebody. You know,
wait a minute. You belong to a flight club, right?
Yes.
So yep. how did you get caught with having to clean the plane? I thought they do that for you.
No, we all own the airplane, and so yeah. Somebody has to step up and do it. And so
you decided it was too dirty. It's time to give it a wash. And it was. I mean, how long did it take? It wasn't that big a deal, was it? You just take it through the plane wash. Or no?
Sure. No, I started on Sunday working on our Cardinal. My daughter and I tag teamed on that. And between getting the greasy belly cleaned and the thing washed, we spent probably about 3 hours on Sunday and then back to the hangar to get it waxed. And
now, wait a minute. I thought, can't you just fly the plane through like a slight rain shower and you're good to go? That doesn't do it, huh?
That works for a quick spot wash, but mm-hmm. To try to get that, the grease and
get all
oil
the funk
and everything
off.
That's off the underbelly. You know, you probably never got on your hands and knees to get underneath the airplane, but it does build up quite a bit of grime after hours and hours of flying.
A lot of grime. You got to get it off, clean it off, even whether you belong to a club or own it yourself. All right, well, Dennis, appreciate it, and we'll be in touch, my friend, okay?
Thanks, Greg.
All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Maybe even Ed. He might be around next. We'll see.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like the spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Let's spike with pain.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. And he's here. Ed
yes,
made
I am.
It. Not a moment too late. Or maybe it is too late. I don't know. We just got.
I was on time.
You're on time.
I was on time.
What do you know, a good pilot is always early. My flight instructor told me that many, many times, many, many moons ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, he's here now. So we'll just count our blessings that we got Ed with us. And I know he's tired. So it's probably just as well that we got through most of the show without him.
Yeah, I have no problem with you getting through most of the show without me.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like...
It was
like
probably better quality without me.
Well, we had Clay on, I had Dennis, and, you know, I still feel I was kind of flying blind without my flight instructor, but I'm glad you're here now.
Oh, thank you.
How's that as a way to brown nose?
Well, as always, you are one of the best brown nosers in the country.
Well, you are my flight instructor, and I figure I got to keep brown nosing, especially, you know, we're getting back into the season where I'm thinking, like, I might get back into this flying thing. So I got to start greasing the wheel again.
Yeah.
It ain't working, is it?
Bribery works.
Okay. Well, cash. I'll keep that in mind.
Ben Franklin's.
So it's going to be a long, long training session next time, I can tell. All right, well, where you been? Because right after Sun and Fun, you split town or something. What you just left and...
It's called work. I know it's a four-letter word in your vernacular, but I
have work. We're going to get kicked off the air for saying things like that. You be careful.
Well, my most recent adventure took me to Dallas and back, and so I've kind of been... on the road, in the air, as you say.
All right. So Sun and Fun inspired you to buy a new plane or something? Is that what happened or no?
No, it didn't. Well, I got a whole other story there. Our friend Steve, the Bonanza Steve, he was at Sun and Fun.
Right.
He was talking to them about the Baron, but he walked away with a new, used Husky on amphib floats.
Really?
Yes. So he now has... three airplanes.
Get out. So he has a Bonanza.
He has the Husky on wheels. And
oh,
now
okay.
He has Husky on floats.
Oh.
He's going to take that to the lake house in Wisconsin.
Oh, that lucky SOB. I saw him at the Sunset Grill.
Yeah.
He was out there watching us.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
And he saw it and couldn't say no to the deal they gave him. And so he signed the papers and gave him the check. And now he's got to go get his water wings, as they say. So.
Okay. Are you going to help him with that or no?
Well, no, he's going to go do that, and then I'm going to probably fly it with him up to Michigan when it gets time to take it up there sometime.
Very nice. All right, so he has to get special training on how to land it on the water.
Yeah, whole separate flight test, everything.
Yeah.
There's not a written test with it, but...
But you're not going to help him with that part. You don't do that.
No, I don't do that.
Okay, but he couldn't just equip his current Husky with floats, or he just needed one in two different places.
Basically, that's it. He's going to have the one Husky here in the summer, the other one up there in the winter, and then he's going to bring the one on floats back for the winter, because there are a lot of lakes around Florida, so he can get some use out of it here.
Well, we got to make sure he calls her his buddies at Just Plain Radio and
he'll call me.
What about me? What am I?
Chopped liver.
Oh, okay. Well, but, anyway, so he bought that.
That
so inspired him. It's he just saw it and I got to have it.
Yeah,
that's what happens. That's what these shows are for.
We
right?
tell him there's a 12 step program for him out there somewhere.
Yeah. Well,
but more power to him if he can do it. But
that doesn't happen until you get to 12 planes, I believe, though.
Yeah. Well. I was just spent a few days with our good friend Josh, who is one of our customers who owns one of the airplanes in the fleet, 62770. And
very nice. He got flight training professionals, ftpros.com, by the way.
And he's got a problem. He can't get his airplane because it's always flying. Everybody else is flying it.
See, that's what Clay was telling me at Sun Advisors. He says, Greg, if you're going to buy this Kodiak or Grand Caravan and put it into the fleet with flight training professionals, because we've talked about that. He says, you'll never be able to fly it. They'll be flying it on there. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's exactly what's happening to Josh.
Yeah, so...
Because you guys are doing so good at the office.
And we could use another 172. So we cooked up a deal. And so he just went out and I went with him. And we picked up a 2009 172 from a operation out in Dallas and flew it back.
Nice.
So he's one step behind Steve. He has two airplanes.
Well,
Steve
there you
has
go.
Three, and I'm told the one who dies with the most toys wins. So Steve is right now of my close group is in the lead.
Well, because you just love Cubs, isn't that the way? It's not really about numbers as much as it is about the type of airplane.
Well, yeah, he's got two Huskies, and that's pretty high up there.
Yeah,
that's pretty high up there in my opinion. The Bonanza, right. Who cares?
But the Husky's Husky is a Cub or no?
Husky is a bigger version of the Cub. It was a whole new design based on, but it was very similar and looks very similar to the Cub.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, the Husky is a fat version of the Cub, but we say Husky because that's more politically correct, right?
I'm sure that's why they said that.
That's how I bought my jeans back when I was a kid.
You still do?
Yeah. But that is your dream plane for you, isn't it?
I would be perfectly fine with his one on wheels or on floats, but I'd prefer
you
the
take
one on
either
wheels.
One.
Yeah,
because he can't fly them both at the same time. You ought to just say, "Hey, keep one here. I'll take whichever one you're not flying.
I pretty much already have
You've already worked that deal.
I've already got that deal.
Okay. Yeah. And as far as Josh in that 2009 172, that one's probably equipped pretty nicely, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's the same as the other ones, G1000, yeah. GFC 700.
What year is the other one you have in the fleet?
2008. They're both, they're both 681 and 770 2008.
So they're like identical almost.
Almost, except one's just a year newer.
And now he'll have this at his disposal to fly whenever he wants.
Yeah.
And he hopes to do? What does he hope to do?
Oh, he's working on his instrument rating. He got his private, he's working on his instrument. But kind of one of the things is, you know, we're putting this whole deal together, and on the way out there, we're on the airline flying out on American, and he's like, you know, I've been going through this the last couple of days. I've been all giddy. I'm flying to Texas to fly a 172 back to Florida.
Yeah.
And he said, and I thought about it, and he says, you were probably sitting there saying, ah, I got to go to Dallas and fly a 172 back to Florida. I told him, no, that's not the way I look at it. It's going to be a great adventure. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Right.
You're going to learn a lot. I really do enjoy those trips.
I bet.
You know, that it's a little time crunch. I mean, we left at like 5:30 on a Monday night, and we got back about 5:30 on Wednesday night.
Sounds like a great adventure. I wish I was you.
Well, with a little bit of work, you could be.
Okay. And on that disturbing note, till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.